Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, this is Pastor George Pearsons, and welcome to this special edition, this election edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. We are talking about faith for our nation, and we're believing God that what God started in this nation, He is going to continue it, and we are so grateful and thankful for all that He is doing. And the election is just a few days from now. You are going to vote. You are going to cast your vote. That is our responsibility, and we're here on the set here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, talking to two great men of God. And would you please welcome with me David Barton from Wall Builders and Bishop Keith Butler. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. And we've had Brother Copeland with us these last few days. And of course, the man never stops moving. So now he's gone out preaching somewhere. And I'm excited to have you back today for this. And we're taking some time to encourage the people, to believe God with them. And we've had people out there who are confused and angry and in fear over these elections. But we've learned, as we've heard from Brother Copeland many times before, we have faith in God and we trust Him for this nation. And so one of the things I'd like to do as we continue our discussion together, I want to bring up with you the importance, both of you, the importance of this one, the one vote. You know, people out there are wondering themselves, what difference does a vote make? What difference does my vote make? How can it make a difference? And, you know, I have a number of things here that I've collected over the years, like, and you can correct me if this is wrong, but in 1845, Texas was admitted to the 28th state by one vote. Am I right? Does that sound about right? We can check.
There's a lot of those one votes like that.
1868, Andrew Johnson was spared impeachment by one vote. In 1923, Adolf Hitler won leadership of the Nazi Party by one vote. In 1960, JFK by one vote per precinct, and Nixon lost by one vote per precinct. And so one vote is extremely important.
I'll go back earlier than that.
Yeah.
Thomas Jefferson, and our history is so lousy today. Thomas Jefferson in recent years, they say, he's a slave owner. And so they're calling for the removal of the Jefferson Monument. They want his name, they want his face off Mount Rushmore, off the money. Mm. He's the founder of the University of Virginia, and they want a statue gone. He did the Louisiana Purchase, and that brought in, let me say it again, he's the founder of the University of Virginia, and they want a statue gone. Mm. And the University of Missouri is there because he did a Louisiana Purchase. They want a statue gone. It's all because he's a slave owner. Well, a little time out here. Yes, he's a slave owner, but not by his choice. He hated slavery, but the state of Virginia, state law, would not allow him to free his own slaves. And he writes very openly about that. Mm. When he was elected to the legislature of Virginia, one of the first things he does when he gets there as a freshman is introduce a law to abolish slavery in Virginia. Didn't get it done. When he got elected to the U.S. Congress, not U.S. Continental Congress at that time, got elected to the Continental Congress, he introduced the first national measure to end slavery in the whole nation. Couldn't get it done in Virginia, but let's end the whole nation. Lost by one vote. We missed ending slavery by one vote. And he, in his diary, oh to God that he would have changed one heart, had one heart been changed. And so he goes from that, and I mean, the rest of his life, within 2 months of the time he died in his 80s, he's still fighting slavery. And so it's interesting that when slavery was finally abolished in the 13th Amendment, mm-hmm. They asked a great black preacher. He was Henry Holland Garnett to preach a sermon on the abolition of slavery in Congress. And he stood there in Congress and said, uh-huh. Jefferson would be rejoicing today because he wanted this. And today we don't see Jefferson, but black civil rights leader praised him. But Jefferson's the guy who came within one vote of ending slavery in America. So there's a lot of examples of that. And what I would like to do is let's take the election and say, yeah, everybody's looking up here at the presidential, but that's like the magician. Watch my hand, watch my hand. Well, it's the one over here you need to be watching. And what happens is where you're looking at the presidential, it's all these local races that are really so much more impactful for where you live.
Yeah. You were even talking about a few minutes ago just the sheriff.
Yeah.
How important that is.
Yeah, you're talking about a local sheriff, local officials to determine where you live, how you live, what you can do, whether or not you can own a firearm, not own a firearm, state representatives. The entire local level is extraordinarily important, and in many ways have as much, and in some cases, more impact on your life than the federal officials do. And it's extremely important. The historian here, I'm sure, can tell us, even the 2000 election between Bush v. Gore, wasn't that one vote per precinct in Florida, I think?
537 votes total in Florida.
For the entire state of Florida. So it was less than one vote per precinct that determined whether or not Al Gore was president or George W. Bush was president. So one vote is hugely important.
Huge.
You don't know watching this that maybe it might be you.
Oh, man.
Right.
Here's voters. Constitution says if you're 18 or above, you can vote. So this is everybody in the United States who can vote. All you have to do to vote is just go down and say, this is me. I'm here. I'm registered now. What we do is in America, 31% of people refuse to register to vote. So we've now taken our voters and cut it by one-third.
That again, 31%
of people say, I'm not going to register to vote. I'm not doing that. Well, you've now taken yourself out of any chance of having any influence at all. So we've taken our 100%, now we're only at two-thirds.
Okay.
Now, of that two-thirds, when you come to a non-presidential year, only 37% of this group votes. So that's less than half. Well, that's one-third of what's left. So we take one-third of what's left, and this is who votes for choosing presidents and congressmen. But it only takes half of that to choose the winner. So what we're doing is to choose congressmen, senators, and governors, it's one out of every eight Americans chooses our governors, our state leaders.
My goodness.
Now, when you take the presidential level, all right, we lose 31% again, so we're going to take that 31% off. So now we got two-thirds of what we had, but we get 57% voting here. So that's a little more, two-thirds of what's left. And it only takes half of that, so we break the half of that. Since 1980, only one out of six Americans chooses the president of the United States. Now, you know what? If we don't like the direction the country's going, I'm going to look at the other five out of the six. Well, I'll look at four out of six because, you know, one six over here tried to choose the other guy, whoever that was. Now, here's the next step going to what Bishop was talking about. Okay, here we are. We're going to take 31% off who refused to register to vote. This time, we're going to local elections. 4% of people vote in a local election.
Oh, my goodness.
And only half of that it takes to win. So this is local elections there.
Yeah.
It's 2%. We're talking 2% of registered voters is what chooses local elections. And that's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. That's where policies come into play.
Yeah.
And just to give you a couple of examples, we've really started trying to focus people on recruiting the right people for office, because one of the things you need to learn right out the bat is you want to elect people you don't have to lobby. If I have to call you as my congressman and say, George, you need to vote for marriage between a man and a woman, I've already lost the battle.
Yes,
I should have elected you on that premise. So you want to elect people you don't have to lobby, which means you want to recruit people you don't have to lobby, get them to run for office, which means I'll look around my church and say, what are you doing here? You need to be on school board. You need to be on public utility district. Hey, you ought to be on the junior college board. You start recruiting because that's all it takes to elect people at that level. So examples. You get this transgender stuff coming in. You know, the president said we're going to take away your public school funding if you don't have one bathroom, one locker room for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
In a town in Arkansas, 40,000 people in that town, Christian lady and then school board in that conservative town said, we're going to do it. We're going to have one bathroom, one locker room, everybody. And she says, no, Christian lady. She ran for the school board in a town of 40,000 people, got elected. She won with a total of 35 total votes. Out of town of 40,000, mm-hmm. she wins with 35 mm-hmm. votes. Go to Iowa. In Iowa, same thing there, school board there. Guy steps up and says, I'm going to run. He got busy that day, ended up not voting for himself. Nobody voted in the school board election. Had he voted for himself, he would have been on the, he would have been the school board, but he didn't even vote for himself. One vote, when you get down to this level right here, mm-hmm. one vote is massive. But when you look at the presidential level, you take that little vote right there and multiply it by precinct, by precinct, by precinct, yeah. that'll choose yeah. you a president every time.
Yeah. Now, as far as the who is on the docket for voting, we've got president, and most of the people look, as you said, they're looking up here and we're voting for president, but there's a lot more at stake. We have state senators. We have
state reps, county officials, county executives, everything from city councils, of course, all the way up to United States senators in this election who controls mm-hmm. the Senate. Mm-hmm. And again, these things can determine everything from whether or not your Second Amendment rights are, you have them or you don't.
Okay.
Okay, I used to serve on the city council in Detroit, okay? We dealt with things that...
It's a city bigger than a whole lot of states are, by the way.
That's true.
Literally.
Well,
that's
when I was a councilman, it was over a million. Now they've lost like 40% of the population.
See, that's more than Montana has. That's more than Wyoming has, more than North Dakota or South Dakota. There's a lot of states that have less than Detroit had.
Yeah, and we were chosen citywide.
Yeah.
Okay, we didn't have wards and districts back in my day. They do now. But then it's like being elected for mayor, so you have to run citywide. Well, even that was determined, as it turned out, by not very many votes, you know, less than one vote per precinct. And every single one of these elections matter. Because as a council person, we determine whether or not Detroit stayed bankrupt or not, mm-hmm. whether or not, and all the consequences of that. Whether or not there was policies that caused pro-family policies that happened
right.
in that city
right.
or
right.
not.
That's right.
All sorts of stuff that happened. And it's every single person matters. Now, this also, though, requires, because what we're talking about in our republic is really about citizenship.
That's right.
Okay.
And being a citizen is more than just having a card in your wallet that says you're United or a passport, United States citizen.
Yeah.
It is doing some homework. Who are these people?
That's right.
Ask them some questions, finding out who they are, like he was saying, finding out who they are, because it's too late. It really is too late.
Yeah.
If you, I've rarely seen a politician successfully lobbied by anybody other than folks who bring large amount of money to the table.
Mm-hmm.
That's not us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't qualify.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's, and it really does affect your life. I mean, you're talking about these state and local ordinances about whether or not some male, grown male, can come into a bathroom with your 8-year-old girl. Okay, and I guess for some people, that's not a big deal. But for me, I have 3 granddaughters, 13, 10, and 8.
Yeah.
Okay, and when I think of some 6'2", 240-pound guy going there saying, well, I think I'm a woman, and he's going to be in the bathroom with my granddaughters, I almost forget that I'm saved. I'm ready to slay somebody, okay? But see, stuff like that happens.
Sure. At the city level.
City level.
The NDOs, the ERAs, all those happen at that level. And 4 years ago, I haven't counted for next week, but 4 years ago on election night, there were also 176 state ballot initiatives.
Oh,
so you're
man.
Making policy for your state.
Yeah.
You had gambling, casino, you had do we want to have right to die? Should doctors kill you or save your life? 4 states defined marriage, had definition of marriage. 1 state said, do we want to get rid of our estate tax?
Right.
Another said, do we want to reduce or increase sales tax? And you're doing it yourself by either not showing up. I was shocked last time. I don't think there was a single state that reduced its own taxation. When allowed to vote for higher taxes, lower taxes, mm-hmm. across the board, people voted for higher taxes.
I can't remember when that ever happened.
And it's crazy because that's not what polling shows, but you know what? That's who showed up.
Right.
And
so
when that's who shows up.
Right.
So
right.
the will of what the public really thinks
yeah.
is not being shown at the ballot box.
Yep.
And then they said they go, oh, this is terrible. Why is this happening? But you didn't go out and vote.
Yep.
Sure.
And people like you didn't go
sure.
out and vote. And so one vote is extraordinarily important.
What do you do as a pastor? What do you do in your church to encourage people to vote? Do you encourage them to register? Do you encourage them how do you handle that?
Every pastor, anything you want the people to do is accomplished one way. You preach on it. Anything you want in a church,
yeah.
you preach on it.
Yeah.
And you will have whatever you preach to the people. Faith comes by hearing. Trust, confidence, belief, that word
so pistis. So for pastors, you'll have what you preach.
You have what you preach. Mm-hmm. It's really true. If you don't preach on it, you won't get it. If you preach on it, you'll get it. The congregations sure. are and of course, God's whole system is speaking and hearing and acting.
Right.
So if the pastor takes the time to walk through the Word of God on it, people go out and vote. So it's not all that deep. It's not all that complex. Okay. If you want people to do that, that's what you do. If you keep your mouth shut,
mm-hmm.
then the people, they will sit and not do much.
And you got to remember that voting in this country is very much a biblical duty.
Yes, sir.
Easy way to look at this, you say, all right, we know from the Bible, whether it be from Jude, from Romans, from 1 Peter, we know all these passages, that God has ordained the institution of civil government. Now, we also yep. know from the Bible shows us 7 different forms of civil government, and there are some that God endorses. It shows you, here's what Egypt did, and here's what other nations did. So 7 different forms of civil government, but what God endorses is the first one He told Israel to use. Now, remember, Israel got into a monarchy, and Prophet Samuel said, whoa, guys, and God said, this is not what I want, but the people said, I want it, and God said, okay, yeah. you want yeah. it. And Samuel said, you do this, here's what happened to your military, here's what happened to your property taxes. God's plan was back in Exodus 18:21.
Yeah, I just opened it here. That's what you've taught
choose
me.
Choose out from among you.
Yeah.
Let's have elections.
Yeah.
Let's vote for leaders of tens,
yep.
local, 50s, county, hundreds, that's state, thousands, that's federal. Choose your own leaders. That's called a Republican form of government. Small r, not big r. It's not a party.
Mm-hmm.
You have a democracy, which the Bible deals with. Founders hated democracies. They're very bad forms of government. You have republics. We're a Republican form of government because we choose our leaders at every level.
Yeah.
So you can start with that. You can go to things like Deuteronomy 1, 15 and 16, Deuteronomy 16, 18. All these
mm-hmm.
are the passages repeat
mm-hmm.
the same thing. Choose out from among
yeah.
you your leaders.
Yeah.
That was God's plan. So you can start with the fact that God wants you to do it. And by the way, Proverbs 29, 2 says that when the righteous rule, the people rejoice.
Yeah.
When the wicked rule, the people groan. It does not take a hearing aid to hear all the groaning going on, which means the wrong people are ruling. But how did they get there? We chose them, or we didn't choose them, by staying at home. So there's so many Bible
wow.
verses you can use on elections. That you set it up and say, this is a biblical mandate. This
yeah.
is not optional.
Yeah, so you wind up going back to Genesis 8:22. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. And you go
yeah.
back to Mark chapter 4, where Jesus talks about the very same thing, which is what? Your vote is a seed. And so you will get harvest off of
mm-hmm.
whatever seed you plant.
Yep.
And if you don't plant seed, you can't get the harvest you want.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want government that reflects what you believe and what your values are,
yep.
you must plant the seed of the vote.
Yep.
And by the way, as we were saying when Brother Copeland was here, the end result of this is that God will bless you, or the blessing of the Lord will work on you
yep.
or not work on you based on the seed that you plant.
Yeah.
Okay, and the Word tells us if we plant to righteousness, we receive righteousness. If we plant unto unrighteousness, then we get unrighteousness
yeah.
or ruin, as the Greek says, they are the flesh. Seed, that one vote is vitally important for the entire institution, but the one vote is very important to your own personal
right.
survival.
Yeah, talk about that.
And your family.
Yeah.
See, so yeah. because the blessing of the Lord is always on anything He wrote in the Word. As David has given you a number of scriptures, and there are
sure.
many, many others, and I just
yeah.
gave you one. God has chosen a form. God has chosen to tell us what happens when we do precisely what He said, particularly if we vote in accordance with His Word. And what comes with us, then harvest comes. And that harvest, your children are affected by the harvest that comes to you.
Mm-hmm.
Your grandchildren may be affected by the harvest that comes to you, good or bad. And in fact, you can look at the pathologies here and family after family, and you can see that this gets passed down to this, you know, two, three, four generations of welfare. Two, three, four generations of the blessing. Okay. And also, and part of it comes back to this very thing right here, being obedient unto God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. To sit at home and not vote is to be disobedient to God, and that never brings blessing.
Let me throw in another passage, too, that has struck me as an unusual way of, maybe it helps people understand. You go back to Matthew 25, the corollary is Luke 19. One, in Matthew 25, it's the parable of the talent, and Luke 19 is the parable of the mina. And in Luke 19, the parable of the mina, he came and gave them a specific amount of money. Today, it translates to about $10,000. And he said, I'm giving you this, invest it, I'll check with you when I get back. When he got back, the first guy said, you know, I never liked you. I never thought you were fair. I didn't like your business practices. I didn't do anything with it. He said, you didn't even make interest on it in a savings account? I didn't do anything. Okay. He went to the next guy, he made fivefold, next guy made tenfold. He came back to the first guy and said, take it away from him and give it to the guy who had the 10. They go, whoa, that's not fair, he's got 10. No, no, no. To him who has will be given even more, to whom who has not will be taken away even that which he has. Now, what's interesting is that guy who got in trouble never asked for that stewardship at all. He didn't ask for it. The master came and said, I'm giving it to you. You do something with it until I get back. Well, that wasn't fair. He didn't. It doesn't matter whether it's fair or not. The master gave it and said, you do something with it till I get back. That's where we are in America. We didn't ask to be born here. God put us here. The deal is, you take care of it till I get back. He comes back. Well, I just didn't want to get involved in that. I thought the whole system was... I told you to take care of it till I got back. It didn't matter whether we asked for it. We didn't ask to be born here. We didn't put ourselves here. He put us here, and he made us stewards over this country and this nation. And we will answer to him for what we do with our stewardship, and to say I decided not to get involved, that's the guy who got in trouble. The guy who refused to take what was put in his hands. And as a voter, we've got to understand, you know, I don't care whether one vote makes a difference or not, but it's going to be my vote every time that will be there. And if every Christian would take that stewardship thing that he put it in your hand, he's going to make you, he's going to come back and say, what'd you do with that country I gave for you? Ah, I didn't like it. Didn't. I'm sorry, you're in trouble, Bubba. That's where you lose and gets given to the guy who had. Even that which you had is taken away. And that's, man, if you get that mentality, that voting is not optional, that voting has to be done.
Voting is not
optional. It is not. I have no choice about whether I'm going to vote. I only have a choice about who I vote for. I have no choice.
Two big words he's telling you out of Luke 19. Taken away.
Oh, boy.
You see?
Taken away.
Because he didn't do, it was taken away from him.
Whew.
And people are angry because they think the government's taking away their rights, but they're not participating to make sure
in the process.
There's our sizes right there.
When
you do this, it gets taken away.
So it gets taken away. Here's the other thing. You got to get into agreement with God again out of Luke 19. He said, give it to the guy that has 10. Well, that's, we're talking spiritual principles.
That's right.
Socialism doesn't like this. You know, we're going to cut the same for everybody. Everybody should have the same slice.
Everybody gets one
and a fourth. By that system.
No, it doesn't work.
You know, it always goes back to you. Always, whatever you plant, that's the harvest you get. You plant little, you get little. You plant much, you get much across the whole thing. If you want to have a free life whereby freedom reigns, you have to vote and participate in this revolt.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.